Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and I pray that during this season of Advent that you'll come to know the hope, the love, the joy, the peace that the Prince of Peace brings, the Christ child. This is the third week of Advent. The first week of Advent, if you do an Advent candle, you would light the candle of hope. And we looked at the life of Zechariah. Zechariah was the old priest who encountered the angel Gabriel in the temple and was told that his prayer had been heard. What a powerful moment to hear that your prayer has been heard. Have you been waiting for a prayer to be heard? Have you been waiting for hope, looking for an email or a text or a card in the mail or a call from a special friend? Hope is what helps us to walk by faith, even when things are dark and the future is unknown. Like what we're doing today during this pandemic, during this shutdown. In the second week of Advent, we would light a candle of love. And I would say, you would look at the life of Joseph, who loved his wife, but his life, his dreams were shattered, his hope was dashed, and his life completely altered by the news that his wife-to-be was pregnant. Mary was pregnant, and he was not the father. Thank God for angelic visits. What love Joseph had for Mary. Each morning, Advent morning, I sit and I read through the gospel birth announcements. I try to enter into the stories I'm reading. What were Zechariah and Elizabeth thinking when they found out that Elizabeth was pregnant at 80 years of age? What was going through Joseph's mind when he heard about the love of his life, Mary, was with a child? What was Mary thinking when the angel showed up and told her that she would become pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit? So what? So what would it be like for us, for you and for me, to be so quickly responsive to the Lord's calling on our lives? Let us read a part of the Advent story and enter into the joy of the announcement of the coming of the Christ child. Before we do, let us come to the Lord in prayer. Lord God Almighty, we pray, come Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with a fire of devotion. Let our ears be attentive to your voice. Let our hearts be receptive to your words. Let our feet and our hands be willing to do what you're calling us to do and become. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn in the Gospel of Luke to Luke 1, verses 39 through 45. That's what we'll look at today. Luke 1, 39 to 45. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." What a wonderful verse, verse 45. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Maybe we should put our name in there. Blessed are you. Blessed are the ones who believe that what the Lord has said to you will be accomplished. To be honest with you, this week I went through my 20 years of Christmas messages. Actually more than 20 years of Christmas messages, and I found that I've never tried to preach on this passage. As a matter of fact, many commentators skim over these seven verses. It got me to thinking, why is this part of the story recorded? What do they tell us about God? What do they really have to do with the birth announcements? First, I see the eagerness of Mary. Second, I see the joy of Mary, Elizabeth, and even baby John the Baptist in her mother's womb find joy. Finally, we read about Mary's faithfulness. Mary's eagerness, Mary's joy, and Mary's faithfulness. Listen again to verse 29. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Mary was told that she would become pregnant and that her cousin Elizabeth was already pregnant. Pregnant, full of expectation, full of anticipation, full of life. That was what Mary was. She was to become pregnant and with this hope, with this love, with this joy, with this peace of Advent, of having Christ born anew in her heart. Would we respond like Mary? Would we take our own three-day journey, traveling maybe 90 to 100 miles on foot to go visit our cousin? Don't we have a hard time just going a few miles by car to visit someone? Mary got ready and hurried. The Greek word means that she went with eagerness, excitement, with haste, and doing it quickly. She didn't stop at a store to shop or dally around to see friends. Mary walked as rapidly and quickly as she could with great haste to see her cousin, who was pregnant at 80 years of age. I read and I reread that one verse. I was struck by the fact that I have the tendency to dally and linger and even complain about going out of the house at times. I know that none of you have my problem, right? Most of you would be like Mary, running out of the house with eagerness to try and follow the Holy Spirit. I have to admit that I hear the Holy Spirit say that I should do this or do that, and I kind of hesitate and question God. God, why me? Why don't you ask so-and-so to do that? I'm really busy. I'm tired. They aren't doing anything. Ask them. You don't have any problem with wrestling with God, do you? Oh, you do? Maybe you're a little bit like me. This past week, I talked with a man. He's not from around here, so you won't know him, but he's struggling with God. And his exact words were, "Why me, God?" I think that many times we get stuck with would've, could've, should've situations in our lives. We all allow speculation to cause us to become stagnant. We allow fear to freeze us in our tracks. We allow doubt to drive us down into depression, especially with what we're going through with this pandemic. In these harrowing times, like I talked about last week. What amazes me about Mary is that she didn't stop on Depression Avenue. She got up and she hurried with haste to see if what God had said was true. She did not let the 90 to 100 mile trip by foot stop her. She went with eagerness. As I studied for this passage, I learned something from Mary. I've learned how to say, "Here I am. Here I am, Lord, your servant. Do with me according to your word. And God, help me to do it with eagerness. Help me to follow you with joy." Maybe that's a good way to pray. "Here I am, Lord, your servant. Do with me according to your word. And God, help me to do it with eagerness. Help me to follow with joy." It's definition time, joy. What exactly does it mean? A feeling of great happiness? I like Rick Warren's definition. Joy is a settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the joy is the determined choice of making I make to praise God in every situation. The second lesson I learned this week pertains to the word joy, joy to the world. I've heard the joy, joy, joy down in my heart, joy. What comes to your mind when you hear the word joy? Only three little letters, but oh, so powerful to transform and change our lives. My wife, Jacqueline, and I went to visit a friend in the hospital. She was wearing what she calls her Christmas uniform, a black sweater with the word joy splashed across it. I am not kidding you. As we walked to the parking garage to get our car, a lady passing by started singing, "I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." My wife stopped and they both started singing that song. Then another lady joined in and, well, so did I. The four of us were in a parking garage at a hospital singing about joy, the joy that Jesus brings. Joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and you. The first thing I want you to know is that this first sermon note is that Mary was joyful in her journey. Mary was joyful in her journey. There is joy in the journey. Many of you may not think there's much joy in this pandemic. Maybe despair, depression, fear, panic, anxiety, the clouds of all those things are overwhelming you. But joy comes from Jesus. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing in this pandemic. But I want you to know the joy of Jesus. I would ask that you would write down in your journal or write down somewhere if you're listening. Maybe you're driving and you can't write anything down. I am joyful in my journey. This past week, 15 of us went down to do Samaritan's Purse Warehouse. Do you know that they pack and send out million shoe boxes? We broke into two groups and stood on our feet for hours, inspecting boxes, taping boxes, praying over the boxes, scanning boxes, putting shoe boxes into boxes, and lifting those heavy boxes onto rails to go get packed into waiting trucks. I'm telling you, there was so much joy in that place. So far, the seed has helped to pack over 90,000 boxes. Can you imagine the joy those kids will have in receiving a gift from someone in America? You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship, and this is Pastor Dave. If you need special prayer or if you just need prayer, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship and click on the prayer icon, write up a prayer. Our prayer team would be glad to pray for you. If you need someone to talk to, you can put that down. I want you to know that you're not alone, that God will never forsake you, that God wants to be with you and show you his joy. Well, back to our story. 6-month-old in the womb baby John the Baptist is joyful when Mary arrives. We're told that he leaps in his mother's womb. Can you imagine that the first person to recognize the Messiah is a 6-month-old baby in the womb of cousin Elizabeth? Mary is joyful. Baby John, who's in the womb, is joyful. Elizabeth becomes joyful. I can just see old Zachariah sitting off to the side when Mary enters the house, unable to speak, but he's smiling and laughing with joy too. I want you to know that the second truth of this passage, when Jesus shows up, he brings with him the joy of heaven. Let me say that again. When Jesus shows up, he brings the joy of heaven. He's the Prince of Peace, but I think he's the joy of heaven too. May the joy of heaven come into your life. May you lift your eyes up. It says in the Psalms that he's the glory and the lifter of your head. Lift your eyes up in this pandemic and let Jesus be the joy of heaven. One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament is the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is called to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and after they've been destroyed and left broken for almost 70 years, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem are Nehemiah's enemies, and they want to stop rebuilding the walls. Nehemiah and his people are frozen in fear and living in Depression Avenue. Nehemiah calls out his people, "Do not grieve anymore. The joy of the Lord will be our strength." Wow. Maybe that's our cry during this pandemic. Do not grieve anymore. The joy of the Lord will be our strength. Listen to how Nehemiah states it in chapter 8, verse 10. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is our strength." The joy of the Lord is our strength. When they finish rebuilding the walls, there's a party to be had. The people have a dedication party. This is how Nehemiah records the dedication in Nehemiah 12, verse 43. "And on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away." The New Testament book of Philippians is called the Book of Joy. The Apostle Paul begins the book by saying that he prays with joy. "I thank my God every time I remember you, and all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray in joy." Philippians 1, 3, and 4. Do you pray with joy? That's another good point to make. Do I pray with joy as I remember you? I do. Our prayer team will pray with joy if you write your prayer concerns. So what? Mary had the joy of the Lord Jesus. John the Baptist, who was not even born yet, had the joy of Jesus. Elizabeth had the joy of Jesus. Nehemiah had the joy of the Lord, and the people who rebuilt the broken walls had the joy of the Lord. There was great rejoicing. Paul had joy even when he was in prison and chained to a Roman guard. He had joy. What's that say about us during this pandemic? Are we going to allow fear, anger, anxiety, despair, doubt, depression to overwhelm us? My prayer is that you'll know the joy of heaven, Jesus. As we have entered this third week of Advent, how will we continue preparing our hearts and our homes for the Christ child? Will we awaken on Christmas Day with the joy of Jesus? Or will we allow the outward circumstances of our life to control our inward emotions of joy? In essence, will we allow this pandemic to control our lives? Why do we allow situations that are really way beyond our control to have the power to freeze us in fear, or keep us stuck in shame, or ground us in guilt, or paralyze us in a pandemic? Why do we turn our anger inward into depression? Why are we so heavily and so easily overwhelmed by the obstacles in our path? Our story today ends with a powerful statement of faith. Enter into this story and let Luke say this: "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." I would just pause there. I would say, get your Bibles out in Luke 1:45. Take that personal pronoun and put your name in it. Blessed is, my name's Dave. It could be Mary, John, Jose, whatever your name is. It could be Jason. It could be Robert. It could be Mary. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to Dave, or to Bill, or to put your name there, will be accomplished. My so what question for you is, do you believe? That's my challenge. Do you believe? Do you believe all that the Holy Spirit is saying to you is true? Do you believe that God will accomplish all the things that have been spoken to you in your heart? I have some homework for you this week. I know you're busy, but it's pretty simple. Practice joy. Jesus, others, and you. Practice listening and obeying the Lord with great joy, with great eagerness, with great haste, with great excitement. Hope, love, joy. Are you filling your heart with these Advent gifts? Listen to the scriptures once more, Nehemiah 8:10. "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter your despair or your doubt or your depression, no matter your fear, your guilt, your shame, the joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. Lift your eyes up. Instead of looking inward, look outward. Instead of looking downward, look up. It says in Psalm 121 that I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He won't let your foot slip. He knows you're going out and you're coming in. No matter what you're facing, the joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. I love Paul's letter to Philippians. I would encourage you to go read that short little book, Philippians 1:3. Paul's in prison. He's chained to a Roman guard. And he writes to his friends. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Maybe we should start praying right now with joy. My good friends started making these, I have these little handheld crosses years ago, Don and Bob, they started making these little handheld crosses and we've handed out a ton of them. We've sent these crosses all over the world. I want to thank Don and Bob for the crosses. My wife keeps her cross on her nightstand. Most nights she falls asleep holding that cross and praying for others. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Listen, Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming around the corner. Joy to the world. Great happiness that our Savior has come. Let us pray. Lord God, these are harrowing times where many have lost hope. I pray right now for those that are hopeless. Fill them with hope, a hope that will never disappoint them. Let your hope be an anchor. Lord, there are many who have been hurt and lost and don't know your lavish love. Lord, light the love, the fire of love in their hearts so that they will see you and grow in your grace. And Lord, let the joy of your presence, let the joy of your peace, let the joy of your grace, let the joy of Jesus radiate in our lives, even during this pandemic. Surround us and hold us and deliver us so that we can walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to say real quickly before we sign off, I am so thankful for all the prayers that people have sent and the notes and the cards. As you know, I've walked through the valley of the shadow of death with my dad's death recently. It's been a blessing for many of you to write, and I want you to know that we're here, that we're going to pray for you. If you need prayer, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon and we will pray for you. I want you to know that you're not alone, that God will never leave you, that God will never forsake you. May the hope, the love, the joy, the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts this day and always. Know that God loves you and that I love you. May you have a blessed week until we see each other again. God loves you. God bless. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.